Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. And this study in Luke chapter 12, verse 10, titled Blasphemy Against the Holy Ghost. This is Pastor Greg, and we're thankful for all who are joining us for part one of this important study in the Gospel of Luke. And we want to remind you that the conclusion of this two-part study can be found anytime, free of charge, on our website at BBFOhio.com. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those to our email address at BBFOhio@protonmail.com, or you can send a letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry by addressing those to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. You can also donate at BBFOhio.com. And now we begin with a current events update and our study in Luke chapter 12, verse 10, titled Blasphemy Against the Holy Ghost. This is part one of two.
Current events update. And I want to make an opening remark. I'm being asked, a lot of people emailing me and everything, about the statements made by Joe Biden and the Biden administration about going door to door. And I want you to understand, at this point, there's no reason to panic. A lot of what you're seeing in conservative news media, bloggers, whatever you want to call them, they purposely put headlines. It's called clickbait. It's to get you all excited. And there are pictures of people in Nazi Germany, you know, being drug out their front door and that kind of thing. That's not what has been proposed. Could it happen? Absolutely. The Biden administration is kind of scary. So I understand why people are panicked sometimes when they see this stuff. What they're talking about doing right now is just coming to your door and urging you to get a vaccine. And that's no problem. Have your chick tracks ready. And tell them that you do not want to talk about your personal health information. And so you'll just pass on any survey or anything they're doing. But I would like to give you this free literature on how you can know that you're going to heaven. And it's all about Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. And then you can give them your personal testimony even. And if they won't listen or they walk away, that's on them. God will be pleased. In the meantime, you haven't had to panic about someone coming to your door and knocking on your door. And that's all there is to it at this point. If someone's trying to make you believe there's anything more to that at this point, they have no factual basis behind it as of 9 o'clock this morning, the last time I checked. So just wanted to give that opening remark and then do headline reviews in the news. First of all, this was in the news. California is set to pay reparations to eugenics victims. California residents who experienced forced sterilization may see reparations once the state's governor approves the budget. One America reported on that, and they have more on it on their website. What I want to point out is that you are being told to trust your government with health care and this experimental gene therapy shot that they're giving everybody. And as your pastor, I am obligated to warn you that our government has proven they cannot be trusted. I'm not saying you never trust your government. I'm saying that we just do what President Reagan and others have told us to do. You can trust, but verify. So, in other words, you really aren't trusting until you verify. And so, if you research the gene therapy shot that's being given out in the name of vaccinations, and you feel good about that, that's between you and the Lord and you and your body. But giving our healthcare system over to the government, which is the left-wing agenda today, will be disastrous. It will be. I'm not a prophet. I'm just telling you, history has proven. Anywhere the government takes over your healthcare, it is disastrous. And I personally am not going to get the experimental gene therapy shot, but if you choose to, I have several friends and relatives who have, and there's no hard feelings. I'm just telling you what I'm going to do at this point. Now, think of all the liars pretending to be concerned about our previous president not acting presidential. Remember how often we heard that about our previous president?
Oh, yeah.
He wasn't acting presidential. There are people who tell you they agreed with almost everything policy-wise, but because he didn't act presidential. Well, this is what we have now. Goofy Joe. That's not my words, that's their words. Biden kneels before Israeli president in the White House and pledges unquestionable commitment to Israel. Now, first of all, he's a liar. And he does not have unquestionable commitment to Israel. Second of all, I think he's senile. But he, if not, he's a reprobate. And he's bowing before another world leader. That is not his place. He is representing our nation, and we don't bow to other nations. I was just going to ask you. Does it remind you of anyone? Remember this? This was in Japan. The Japanese dude didn't even do that back. And he's Japanese, and that's their culture. Remember this one in Saudi Arabia? The joke was that Obama was giving his best side to the rest of the world. But that's the fact right there. The liberal left is prepared to bow to the Antichrist. And they're preparing this country and they're trying to prepare the whole world. They are useful idiots. It used to be they were useful idiots to Lenin and Stalin and the communists. Now, the liberal left is they are useful idiots. And by the way, that's the term Lenin and Stalin used. He called the left in this country useful idiots because they were helping the communist cause. But if the communists ever took over, those would be the first people the communists would kill. And that's what's always happened when socialism takes over. Well, now they're being useful idiots for the mark of the beast and the Antichrist to come. Meanwhile, the left demonizes Christians and Christian organizations, would be the best way to say that. This is from a guy named Mike Cernovich. He wrote this piece on how a convicted terrorist used the Southern Poverty Law Center's website to identify targets. How many of you remember when Floyd Lee Corkins took a gun into the Family Research Council building and he was going to kill as many people as possible and an armed guard stopped him from going on a planned terror rampage? And in never-been-seen images, Cernovich retraced Corkins' domestic terror attack, which was inspired by the Southern Poverty Law Center's decision to label the FRC hate group. Google has stripped their search. You can't find this if you search Google. Why? Because Google is the enemy of the people.
Amen.
Google is anti-American, anti-free speech, pro-globalist, enemies of the people of the United States of America and the Church of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In Cernovich's report, he committed the shooting for political reasons. He identified the FRC as anti-gay organization on the Southern Poverty Law Center website. 2 Timothy 3 says about the end days, verse 1 and 3, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be," and among other things I wanted to highlight, "despisers of those that are good."
Right.
The left wing in this country hate the people who have businesses and employ us, the mass majority of us.
Yep.
The left hates our Constitution and our founding fathers, who were fallible men, but were good, decent men who helped found the greatest nation on earth. We had slavery at the beginning of this country, but we were the ones who fought a war with 600,000 people dying over the issues, including the tariffs on the South to feed the beast in the North, as well as slavery.
Amen.
And no one wants to credit this country for what we did, what has happened in this country. I say no one. I try not to sweep with brooms. There are some who do. But let me tell you that you talk to a good conservative who's a minority in this country, and they'll tell you they appreciate what has happened in this country. They've targeted. That's the Southern Poverty Law Center hate map.
Wow.
You're on it. You might want to run out the door. They have targeted Bible Believers Fellowship in Worthington, Ohio, the same way they targeted Family Research Council as a hate group.
Yep.
Here's a little close-up. There's where that equal sign is what's used for the sodomite movement, and the cross there means we're anti-LGBTQ. Now, let me specify that we are anti-LGBTQ because it's wicked.
Amen.
It's an abomination. If any LGBTQ person repents, we have open arms, open door policy. If they don't repent and they come through that door, we treat them well and offer them a seat and a coffee or tea or water or whatever.
Amen.
But we won't accommodate the sin.
Amen.
And if that's what they mean by anti-LGBTQ, sign us up. All right, we've got a really uplifting message this morning from Luke chapter 12, verse 10. Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. But as you're turning there in your Bible to Luke 12, this is one of the questions that preachers, I've talked to many preachers through the years, and this is one of the questions we're all asked about. And it's one of them you'll get the silliest answers for. And I'm going to ask you all to do something. I want you to turn off your tape player. Turn it off. I've noticed something about Christians, especially if they've been saved a few years. They've been told things, and then when I teach, not just me, but anybody's teaching, a lot of times they don't even listen to what's being said. They play the tape player. There are things that people are told, and, let's read, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Luke 12, verse 10. Are you there?
Yes.
Read it with me. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. Amen?
Amen.
We'll get t-shirts made and bumper stickers. This isn't, very many people would say this is their life verse. And as a matter of fact, even though this is one of those questions that are asked a lot, there's really not a lot of preachers who touch it. They don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. We go verse by verse. We don't skip any. And once in a while, we come across one of these where we just stop for a while and make sure we get this thing straight. Now, Jesus had just given the two-edged sword warning that if you confess him before men, he'll confess you before, it says, the angels of God. But if you deny him before men, you'll be denied before the angels of God. So we're dealing with some heavy stuff. And the Bible is thick with heavy stuff. Amen?
Amen.
But we're going to approach this and take a novel approach to this. Novel. Is that what I said? Novel. We're going to take a novel approach to this. We're going to see what the Bible says. Now, what I mean by that is there's so many people that teach on things like this, and you just talk and talk and talk. All you have to do is see what the Bible says.
Amen.
It's a real problem with some people, though. When someone says, well, I think, that's fine, but that's not what we're after here. To me, what's your favorite menu item at Bonefish Grill? You know, fine. We'll talk about that, to me. But when it comes to the Bible, it's not to me, it's not I think. What does the Bible say? And I'm telling you, most of the differences Christians have would be settled if they just took what the Bible said, put it in the right dispensation, kept it in context, and just left it there. But, you know, that's just not good enough for a lot of people. So the first part of that verse, he says, and whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. Now, that's not really all that shocking, is it? You speak a word against the Son of Man, Jesus, But he'll forgive you. That's not shocking. Most people figure he's going to forgive you for anything, right? Well, that's why the second part is so shocking. The second half of the verse presents a more shocking scenario. It says, "But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven." So obviously, it's the first shock is that there's something that God will not forgive. And then the second thing is, wait a minute, it says he won't forgive the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. So that's what we're going to have to figure out, because this is called the unforgivable sin. Now, you also hear it called the unpardonable sin. How many of you heard that? And the Bible speaks of it in terms of forgiveness and not pardon. So we just stick to the book, the unforgivable sin. Now, I'm just going to tell you right off what the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is not. It is not impossible to commit today. And that's a very prevalent teaching among fundamental Baptists. And what they'll say is that you can only commit this if Jesus is in the flesh and you say it to his face in the flesh. And the fact is, there's no biblical basis for that.
Amen.
And we'll look at that. It is not simply rejecting the gospel.
Amen.
People will say, well, it just means if you don't believe in the gospel. Well, then why didn't he say that? He didn't say that because it's not the same thing. It's not what he said. And so that's where I'm asking you to turn off the tape player and listen to what the Bible says. Your preacher and teacher may have told you that it just means not believing the gospel. Well, it would have said that, but it didn't say that. Why? Because it's not the same thing.
Amen.
See, she's been listening. It's not making fun of charismania. When you hear somebody, you know, there's a video, it's real popular, it's got some rock song, "Let the bodies hit the floor." You ever seen that? And it shows Benny Hinn knocking people over and smacking them. It's funny. And you're not committing the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit by laughing at that video. I've turned on TBN just for giggles. You know, you just turn on it. It goes from laughing to being sad. Because you're like, this is so crazy. And you're like, oh, I got to send you $1,000 in order to get a healing or whatever. You know, seed faith offering stuff. That's not committing the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. If you go on YouTube and on the internet, you'll find people teaching that and more. Also, it's not rejecting modern tongues. And I've been accused of blaspheming the Holy Ghost because people tried to get me to speak in tongues. And I said, I believe God can do anything. If he wanted me to speak to some Chinese dude in Mandarin, he'll do that. But what goes on in most Pentecostal charismatic churches is itself blasphemous. And so that's not, to reject that nonsense is not to commit the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. So I just wanted to get that out on the floor. And by the way, I'm not alone in teaching this, what you're hearing this morning. I don't want you to think that Greg, oh, wow, Greg is so wonderful. He just comes up with things no one else. It's not like that at all. But this is one of those things where I would sit and listen to guys teach the stuff, one of the things that I mentioned before, and I'm thinking, that's not what it says. And I wouldn't say anything, make trouble, but everything, it's not what it says. And then, as I became a pastor and teacher, and I'm teaching this, then every once in a while someone would say, yeah, I heard so-and-so teach. She said the same thing you did. Sort of. It wasn't always exactly the same. You know, I speak Greglish, so, you know, not everything I say you're going to hear out there. But I was pleasantly surprised that I wasn't alone. And folks, if you're alone teaching something, you're really, really careful. You know, they've been at this for 2,000 years. You know, there's not a lot of new stuff. The Reformation wasn't new, by the way. The Reformation was rediscovering what had been lost because of a thing we called the Dark Ages. See? So, the doctrinal test is not whether it fits neatly into a box. You see, the reason people come up with some of these things is because they want everything to just be so neat and simple. So if you can say the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is the same as just rejecting the gospel, that makes it easy, right? How easy is that? Well, but it's not true. It is whether or not it is biblically true. That's the doctrinal test, right? Amen?
Amen.
So scripture with scripture, let's look where we're given additional light. Matthew chapter 12. And beginning verse 31, Matthew 12 and verse 31. Let's just read verses 31 and 32. I'll read 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. So again, it's the same thing we just read in Luke 12. Now read verse 32. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Now look, it really here he expands a little bit. In verse 31, he says the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And in verse 32, he says, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost. Now why did he do that? I think he's clarifying something that God, being all-knowing and knowing what men are going to say in 33 A.D. and 2021 A.D. and all points in between. They'll try to make this something it's not. He makes it clear that speaking against the Holy Ghost is blasphemy. Speaking against the Holy Ghost. That's not rejecting the gospel. Amen? You reject the gospel, you haven't spoken against the Holy Ghost. You simply rejected the gospel. So let's check out anybody who's taught you that. It's false. It's not true. It's not what the Bible says. The blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is to speak against the Holy Ghost. Not to speak against people who claim to be Holy Ghost filled and barking like dogs. Or rolling around on the floor, squirming, vomiting everywhere. All the stuff you see in the charismania. What I'm first laying out is that it's not just rejecting the gospel. Amen? It's speaking against the Holy Ghost. And it's not making fun of charismania. It's not any of those things we said in the previous bullet point. So this is not just rejecting the gospel. Unforgivable blasphemy is explained. And it's been almost 10 years ago, by the way. This is how fast time flies. 10 years ago, we taught on this in Mark chapter 3. Now, a few of you were here for that. But it's been 10 years ago. Mark chapter 3. Look at Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, verses 28 through 30. And of course, it's very similar in verses 28 and 29. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies, wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Now he tells you what it is in verse 30. Read that with me. Because they said, he hath an unclean spirit. Amen. Now why do these preachers change? It says right there what it is. Amen. They said that Jesus had an unclean spirit. Now that's what it is. That might not make things simple for you. I'm sorry about that. It may not fit neatly into some box you have. And your denomination out there, whoever's whatever denomination, may be totally wrong, and I'm sorry about that. But we're here to learn what the Bible says. And the Bible says that blaspheming against the Holy Ghost is speaking against the Holy Ghost by saying that Jesus hath an unclean spirit. Now that takes little thought, but that's We're going to discuss that further, but that's what blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is. The Bible defines the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit as they said, he hath an unclean spirit. Yes. Now, saying those words doesn't make you guilty or I'd be dead. It's that they said. So understanding that they said, he hath an unclean spirit. If you claim that Jesus Christ's power, whether it was his miracle power, his power of the resurrection power, whatever power he had, if you claim it's not of the Holy Spirit, and you claim that it is of an unclean spirit, then you're guilty of this blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Now, Anyone in this room ever claim that Jesus Christ was controlled by an unclean spirit? So you have nothing to worry about. I don't think anyone in this room is that stupid to start saying that. You're not a fool, amen? Do you realize there are millions and millions of fools in your country, in your state? There are millions of fools in the state of Ohio. So there's plenty of prospects for what we're about to see. Now, in Mark 3, look at verse 22. Read that with me. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. Now you may be sitting here thinking, well, that's who in the world today would do that? Well, get out of your cocoon, folks. There are people doing it.